eyes and ears when you're not with your kids, and alert you to signs of potential problems. Learn more at talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Your midday update news and MNN here on Chasm Radio 49 degrees. Every Thursday during this session, we check in with State Representative Paul Anderson joining us. And Paul has time to join us today. Paul, how are you doing? Hope you're doing well today.
Doing very well, Joe. Outside and looking at the nice blue sky, sunshine, and it's all is good.
That's good to hear. Got a shortened week down in St. Paul, but I'm sure you find yourself busy back in the district here today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I just met with some folks over in Morris, county commissioners and folks that work in the social services department, and hearing about how antiquated some of the computer systems are that the state's still making us employ at the county level. And it really slows down their work, and it's frustrating, and we need to update some of those things. And that'll also help cut down, on, I think, on fraud and abuse if we can get those updated and get those systems working better around Minnesota.
I'm sure the big question is, well, Paul, where are we going to get money for that, right?
Well, strangely, I asked that a couple years ago, and there was a couple $100 million allocated for that type of thing, and nobody really knows where it went, I guess. You know, that's not my area, but so now we're trying to get money to update a certain system called the SSIS system, and not quite sure what that stands for, but it'll take a little funding money, but we hope to get that done yet this year and to help the counties in the work they do. A lot of the stuff the counties do is at the behest of the state, so we want to try to help them wherever we can.
I know, not to rip off a Band-Aid, but I think everybody still has an icky feeling with Minnesota and technology when you say Minlars. So,
well, yeah, that was a prime lesson of let the private market do some of that and not to make the state, allow the state to spend all that time and money and come up with a system that really didn't work. So, yeah, we've learned a lot, I think, from that lesson in Minlars, and there's a lot of good private folks out there that know how to work with these types of issues and software, and they can do a much better job and, I think, do it cheaper, too.
We had the governor come out earlier in the week. Did he release a supplemental budget proposal? Was that it, Paul?
Yeah, that was his wish, and they haven't really had a lot of time to look at it because, actually, we're the ones that would come up with a budget. He did, on the ag side, throw his support again behind sustainable aviation fuel, which is good to see. And again, that would be a more of a tax issue with granting tax credits for the gallons produced in that sustainable aviation area. So we're, again, trying to see how much money is going to be spent. You know, there's a couple $100 million that we could spend, but if that is done, then that makes the out years, the two to four years down the road, makes that really tight and a possible deficit situation. So got to be really careful with what we do, and I would more favor giving folks some tax breaks, some tax cuts. And the one thing I've heard more chatter about is reducing our TAB fees, which are very expensive in this state, and give folks a break when they go to put new tabs on their vehicles.
State Representative Paul Anderson joining us. Paul, did the A committee meet this week in the shortened week?
Well, we missed our meeting on Monday, this past Monday, because of the storm. Yeah, we didn't. We kind of dodged a bullet out where we live, but in the cities and the further south and southeast Minnesota, they really got nailed with heavy, heavy wet snow. So there were no committees on Monday, so we missed the Ag Committee. We meet Mondays and Wednesdays. We did meet on Wednesday. Heard a couple of bills, one that would make it illegal to declaw cats, if you believe that it's not a practice that's done very much anymore. And I think that it's up to the veterinarians and cat owners to decide what to do, and I don't think we should really make that illegal. Heard some other bills pertaining to vertical integration in the meatpacking industry and things like that. And we're going to be hearing more about the down payment assistance and the grain indemnity fund as we head into next week. And that's the last week that you can hear bills and move them along to have them still be eligible to become law, because that's a deadline next Friday for bills to get heard in committee. So it's going to be a busy week next week.
You know, I love cats more than anybody, Paul. You can't have too many barn cats. That's my theory, but You know, to have that as a pressing issue, to have a bill about declawing cats, that's a bit of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, it is. And to some people, it's really a big thing, and I respect them for that. And, you know, there's also a bill to have a separate organization that deals just with companion pet animals. So, but, yeah, I tend to agree with you that there's more pressing things to do, but the bill was introduced, and the DFL had the chair, had the gavel on Wednesday, and they heard that bill. And it really took quite a long time. There was a couple of veterinarians that testified, one in favor of the ban, the other from the Minnesota Veterinary Medical Association, saying that we don't need a ban because it's not done much anymore anyway, and just leave it up to the individual to determine on a case-by-case basis. So we did spend quite a bit of time on that, but it didn't pass in our committee anyway.
Or I guess we can ask the cats next time too, Paul.
And, you know, we have outside cats and barn cats, and, you know, they need their claws for defense and whatever else, so it doesn't really impact those of us that have outside cats, but I guess people that have indoor cats, they like to do their scratching, I guess, so there was that side of it that was brought up in the discussion as well.
Well, that's good. My favorite cat, Sox, can now come out of hiding. I'm not going to go tear its claws out later, so... Sox the cat is feeling good. That's all right. State Representative Paul Anderson joining us here on CASM Radio. Any other topics or issues coming up as of late since we spoke last Thursday, Paul?
Well, one, if I could mention, Joe, that's kind of frustrating and it kind of breaks along party lines again. I went in to get my taxes done, you know, a month or so ago, and all the accountants and a lot of businesses are saying you got to extend what's called a pass-through entity. And what that does is allow mainly, you know, small businesses, S corporations, to deduct on their state return what they pay for federal taxes. And it doesn't cost the state anything. And yet it can save Minnesota taxpayers, small business owners, a couple of billion dollars. And yet it wouldn't get out of tax committee. So, again, you scratch your head why. That some don't want to allow a tax break that doesn't cost the state anything and saves businesses over $2 billion. It was bottled up in committee. So we hope that common sense prevails and that at least that provision can be done. It's called a pass-through entity, and you can check with your accountants to see if that would impact you or your small business. But it's kind of a big deal here with that law actually expired at the end of 2025. And we just want to extend that here in Minnesota to give that break to folks that can deduct some tax expense on their returns.
You know, Paul, too, I was kind of following up on the treated seed topic you brought up maybe last week or the week before that. I think it's State Rep Purcell who brought it up, or I in suit watched some of the video and the conversation there. And on the surface, you could see where they were going at, but they really secondly didn't have like an alternative, and it was glad to see a few folks in the hearing in the room there testifying, saying, well, okay, if you take this away, this is what it's going to look like, which is going to be more inefficient, and we might be worse to the environment. So it was interesting to see furthermore in that discussion that was brought up.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the seed treatment is a very almost minuscule amount of treatment on each individual seed. And if you go back to using insecticide boxes, the old boxes on the planters, you're putting a lot more product out in the field, which, as you say, would actually be worse for the environment. But again, and what really bothers me is somebody said, well, there's no benefit to using seed treatments. Well, yes, there is. We don't just do it to spend money and feel good about another expense. There is a benefit to it, economic advantage, kind of like an insurance policy, I said. So, again, just trying to teach folks why we do it, and there are reasons to do things, and again, trying to do the best that we can with taking care of our environment, too.
And, well, Paul, I was asked also to bring up the deer farm situation. I don't know if you have any in your district at all, Paul, but are you in on any of those conversations, or is that more to a different committee that you don't serve on?
Well, that would be more the Environment Committee. We're talking about the deer farms where farmers raise deer, the cervidae deer, And yeah, that's been a really touchy subject. Legislation was passed, which I think in effect makes it really hard to stay in business because of the expense of having to put up a double fence around your land or your pasture, and making it nearly impossible to sell your farm when you decide you want to retire and live off, you know, the income of your farm. And it went to a federal court case. Not quite sure how that turned out, but yeah, all in the cause, I guess you could say, of trying to stop this chronic wasting disease. There are those deer hunters that believe that the tame deer are the ones that are a big cause of the problem. I'm not so sure that's the case, because all of the positive cases we find seem to be in the wild deer herd. But yeah, there's a real difficulty ahead for the small deer farmers. And I was supposed to meet with them this week, and for some reason the meeting got canceled. So not quite sure what their latest effort is. But yeah, we're making it really hard on those guys and gals to stay in business.
Yeah, I think I was watching once again some of the hearing from the representative from that covers the Little Falls area there, and he was saying too, on these deer farms, they can actually in the breeding process make sure that gene isn't carried on, so they're actually doing better than what deer would be doing in the wild. So,
well, exactly, whatever chromosomes that is, and they could hopefully then transplant some of those chromosomes into the wild herd to build up some resistance. But yeah, a very touchy subject. And it's been really hard on the folks that raise deer, and obviously their numbers are diminishing rapidly as folks kind of just give up and say they can't fight the system anymore, especially when that court case of theirs didn't turn out the way they had hoped.
I know they had made the connection to the representative. Sorry, I forget his name. He's got a real long beard anyhow. I think it's Wessenberg or Riesenberg or...
Yeah, he's a senator, yeah.
Or a senator, and he brought up that, you know, if there's certain restrictions that happen to deer, he figures, you know, making that connection, it could happen to livestock in the future. And he said that's the whole slippery slope, too, they were concerned about, so.
Yeah, in the whatever articles that can cause the CWD are called prions, and they can exist in the soil, in the earth, for a long time. So there is work being done. And also, we've heard for a couple of years that there may be a vaccine that would combat chronic wasting disease, but it's not been officially approved yet by the federal government. So until that happens, and also a test to determine, a live test, to see if any animal has a disease. Right now, the only test is to take brain tissue out of a dead animal to test and see if they have it. So, yeah, we need to do some more work on that topic, but not sure it's going to get done in time.
Well, I think we checked all the boxes from cats to deer to everything today there, Paul.
A very in-depth interview we had, Joel.
You darn right. You darn right. Paul, sure appreciate it. We look forward to our visit next week again, and have yourself a good rest of the week, okay?
Thank you much, Joel. We need some warmer temperatures again. It's getting to, you know, state basketball tournament time, and time to start thinking about spring.
Well, I think you need to pull the planter. I'll get the neighbors anxious a little bit, Paul.
Well, I stopped at his neighbor's place this morning, and he had his tractor hooked up to the digger. So, yeah, there's guys thinking about it.
Uh-oh, it's ready to fly. You bet. You better watch out. Paul, thanks again. Sure appreciate it. Have a good day, okay? State Representative Paul Anderson joining us here on CAT.